A very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 4 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Saturday, the 20th of February 2021. Let us pray. Gracious and ever-living Father, we have come again into your presence this morning to worship you. Known by God and called by name, we come with our doubts and our fears to a Lord who knows doubt and fear too. We come weary and weighed down to the Spirit who breathes new life into us and sends us on our way rejoicing. Lord, hear us as we pray to you in faith and as we reflect from scriptures. For we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Listen now for the word of God as it is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 13, the verses 31 to 35. At that hour, some Pharisees came to Jesus. "Depart," they said to him, "and get on your way from this place, because Herod is out to kill you." "Go," he said, "and tell that fox, 'Look you, I cast out demons and I work cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day my work is perfected. I must be on my way today and tomorrow and the next day, because it is not possible for a prophet to perish out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killer of the prophets, stoner of those who were sent to you, how often I wanted to gather together your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Look you, your house is desolate. I tell you, you will not see me until you shall say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Do not reject the love of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ had been on his way to Jerusalem for a considerable time, and he had observed that they did not love him, even though he loved them. He now had a few things to say to them before he even arrived again. He wanted them to know that they could not stop him from his task and mission that he had come into the world to achieve. "I must walk today and tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." That statement was that of withering sarcasm and scorn. With ironic hyperbole, the Lord accused the Jews of having monopoly on killing prophets, and he had no intention of depriving them of their most notable victim, who was Jesus himself. The great city where God himself had once sat between the cherubim in the Holy of Holies had now become the executioner of the prophets and was soon to become the murderer of God's beloved Son. But before all that will happen, he would confront Herod Antipas, the wicked king, and reveal the true condition of the hearts of his murderers to show Jerusalem they had rejected him and rebuffed the love of God. There are at least three things that stand out from this text. The first is that not all the Pharisees were hostile to Jesus. When we read the Gospels, we get a one-sided picture of the Pharisees, which suggests that they were all bad and hated Jesus. But here we have some of them actually warning Jesus that he was in danger and advising him to seek safety. The Jews themselves knew that they were good and bad Pharisees. And so this passage shows that even amongst the Pharisees, there were those who admired and respected Jesus. And so what we learn is that no matter how bad you feel concerning people's hatred towards you, there are always people who admire and respect you. And secondly, the passage shows Jesus' boldness to challenge the evil of a reigning king. By describing Herod a fox, Jesus was daring indeed. To the Jew, the fox symbolized craftiness and destruction. It represented Herod Antipas as a worthless and insignificant person. Dear friends, it takes great courage to call the reigning king a fox. However, when you are in the presence of the King of Kings, no other king is too great to be told the truth when that one is evil. And Jesus was bold enough because he took his orders from God and he would not shorten his work by one day to please or to escape any earthly king. Are you bold enough to challenge evil and corruption somewhere in some organization? And then thirdly and finally, this passage shows how people might reject our offer of love, no matter how much we prove to them that we love them. Jesus' lament over Jerusalem was significant because he had tried severally to show his people how much he loved them, but they did not respond appropriately. He could never have spoken like this unless he had more than once gone with his offer of love to Jerusalem. But before him, they had rejected and killed other prophets and rebuffed their love for city and nation. So he lamented, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killer of the prophets, stoner of those who were sent to you, how often I wanted to gather together your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Look, you, your house is desolate. I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Dear friend, nothing hurts so much as to go to someone and offer love and have that offer spurned or rejected. And one of the bitterest tragedies of life is to give one's heart to someone in love, only to have that heart broken and even shattered into pieces. And to break one's heart like that is to take away their dreams. As Pearl Buck suggested, there are many ways of breaking a heart. Stories were full of hearts being broken by love. But what really broke a heart was taking away its dream, whatever that dream might be. That is what happened to Jesus in Jerusalem. He had come to his own in love and with love, and dreams to make the city what it was meant to be, a citadel of the presence of God, but they killed his dreams. And still today he comes to men and women who instead reject him and kill his dreams of transforming us into vessels of greater beauty. At the time Jesus was speaking in this text, the religious leaders had convinced themselves that Jesus was dangerous and needed to be killed. They behaved as if they did not know what they were doing. But Jesus pulled back the veil on their hearts and showed them that their rejection of him was not of ignorance, but of willfulness. It was complete rebellion against one who had all genuine intentions to redeem his own from the tyranny of sin and futility to the devil. And all of us are rebels still, denying and rejecting God all the time in that spiritual repression. In the book of Romans, Paul says that a great deal of our behavior can only be explained in terms of emotional and spiritual repression, that underneath everything else, what we repress most is a fundamental hatred of God himself. The closer God gets to us, the more we respond with a visceral spirit of territorial anger because we think God is intruding into our private lives. So again, we say to God, "Leave me alone. Why do you bother with me? Leave me alone." We hate him when he loves us. When the famous atheist Richard Dawkins was asked, "Is there anything God could do to get you to believe him?" He said, "No." If God showed up in the room, I would want to know what sort of psychological or naturalistic explanation is going on here. With that statement, Dawkins went from atheism to antitheism, a refusal to even consider the evidence. His attitude sprang from hatred for God. But the fact remains that to reject God's love is in the end to be in peril of his wrath and to suffer condemnation. So let me ask you, have you rejected God's love and offer of love in your life at any point in time? I am not talking of rejecting God's kingship over your life by denying his existence or renouncing your faith. I am only referring to ways we engage or fail to engage ourselves or the world around us to the honor of God. When we idolize political power and romanticize the actions of evil leaders and look to politics to solve all our problems, and when we reject the commandments of God deliberately and do what is displeasing to Almighty God. Is this so for somebody I'm speaking to you this morning? Then I urge you in the name of God at this time of Lent to repent and turn back to God and embrace the love that Christ freely offers. Jesus Christ says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." And remember, if God's today be too soon for thy repentance, thy tomorrow may be too late for God's acceptance. Lord Jesus Christ, we are tired of the sin struggle in our lives. We feel distant from you because we have rejected you and rebuffed your love. You love us so much, but we don't love you. Our choices have not led us into the right places. We have listened to the whispers of our enemy instead of your words in Scripture. And the result has been disastrous. We once walked with you, our hearts tender to your leading, yet little by little we exchanged your truths for temptations and deceit that led us away from you. Instead of taking thoughts captive and confessing them immediately, we allowed them to grow totally out of control. You created us in your own image, Lord. You know our thoughts before we speak them. You x-ray our hearts and see through our excuses and intentions. Your spirit wants us, but we ignored you. So today we are confessing our desperate need for you. You have promised that if we will confess our sin, you will forgive us and make us clean again. Lord, we truly need your forgiveness. Repentance is on our hearts and lips. We want to turn around and head another direction back to you, Lord. But we need your help. Help us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. Amen.